Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
I feel like I was about to get into it.
Yeah. I know. Very chill.
Does it?
Well, you'll find out at the end of this Hat Chat episode. Episode 87, in fact, with your hosts, Chris Trott,
Ross Hornby,
and Alex Smith. Hello. It's my voice.
It's not quite a whole week because we recorded this a day early because of reasons. I'm away tomorrow, and that's our usual day. But we set a task. I set a task for myself. And people are just eagerly anticipating whether I crumbled social media wise. None of you give a shit because I wasn't on social media and you forgot I existed. So, I stayed off it.
But you didn't, though.
What do you mean?
You posted 3 stories on your Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I had commitments.
I mean, you had commitments, but you still used it.
I felt like you were very eager not to. Then
I know I was. I knew you were going to say you didn't use it, but you don't use it normally. And so, like, it was actually, if anything, you used it more than you previously do. I didn't see you post often.
Yeah, well,
I just found that. Yeah,
I mean, you could argue that, true, but I didn't doom scroll, which is the important thing.
Okay.
Like the mental health deteriorating, endless scroll of looking at negative stuff and consuming shit and then coming away from it in a dazed mess of like, what did I just do with that half an hour of my time? I didn't do that, but
did you feel
contractual obligations to post things on my social media because that's my job, and yes, I fulfilled those things. So technically I did break it by posting on Instagram. Thank you, Ross.
Well, obviously I didn't go along with it because I saw your post, hence why I, you know.
You saw it.
I used social media that week, so yeah.
How did it feel?
It was all right. Yeah, I tried to use it less. And to be fair, I did use it less. But we also... Oh, look. Fucking hell. it's freezing on the cameras. If you watch this on a Hat Chat podcast,
you get some amazing
on YouTube,
stills.
You get to see some amazing stills of our faces, or my face mainly, freezing in the most awkward way possible. But I did use it and we posted a couple of videos isn't really the same as what you're describing as doom scrolling, which obviously is not the best. I still kind of wake up and I actually open up the news app first before I do anything, which I don't know if that's worse because it's still kind of a form
like
of doom scrolling,
just as bad because it's like a filtered, like
I'm looking
no, this
for
is
something
real
that's happened
and it's happening and it's bad. Good luck with that. A lot of Ukraine, Russia news was the thing that was occupying my week instead of people's really shit days or, you know, negative drama on social media. Instead, it's like, there could be a world war.
So will they, won't they situation. Oh, well, they're saying they're leaving, but is
they
there
had a
evidence
video of them
leaving?
But
so it's a lot
more
of
troops got deployed.
Curiosities.
Secretly. I don't want to even assume I know anything about the details of it. But
and now
yeah.
people are doom listening, so let's move on. What about you, Smith? Did you manage to avoid it? Obviously, you said just before we went live.
Yeah, I did.
You avoided it? Nice.
How did that feel?
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, I agree. I think what you said, Ross, about the you opening the news app when you first wake up, I usually do that with Twitter because initially I started using Twitter as a way to get news from source, various news sites on a feed, right? And it's just turned into something else completely now because they've changed the way the app works in order to show you the things that you engage with more often. And it turns out we quite often engage with things that make us unhappy.
You can change it to times, as in like...
But that's only how they display... That's, but maybe, they still give recommendations when you use chronological ordering. They still give you and serve you information. It's just, yes, it's in time order, but they're still choosing what to show you based on recommendation algorithms. Anyway, I stopped doing that every morning, which was good. I found the... In the moments that I broke my like cycle of in my moments of downtime when I've not got something to do, just opening and looking at my phone and scrolling through crap, like you say, like doom scrolling, I've stopped that for the week, which I think again has been positive because it's just, it's almost like CBT, you know, it's almost like it's breaking habits that have no real benefit to me. But I've done them because it's something to do, as they say, or like, you know, it's that little like micro buzz you get each time you see something. Yeah, exactly. So no, I've really enjoyed it. I think it is. So the one time today, so the poll, I wanted to ask my Twitter followers which like campaign race I should play in the new Warhammer game. I was like, well, these look quite cool. I wonder what everyone's thinking. I want to use like the hive mind to get like an aggregate of, you know, because usually they'll say stuff like, oh, this race is a bit meh, or yeah, you can play this one, but it'll change the way the game works. You know, it'll give me insights. And that's quite useful. But that's really one of the only times I've thought, man, because I've still been opening YouTube. I've still been using YouTube. I guess social media is, it depends how you quantify it, but
it's broad, isn't it? But like, yeah. Using Twitter less, I guess Reddit is a big one. But.
Yeah. I had like a 5-minute time limit on all of those apps. So if I needed to open it for any particular reason that was, you know, like I wasn't doing any doom scrolling at all. I didn't want to open it for like recreational reasons. But for example, say I needed to talk to Pyrion on Twitter instant messaging because he's on some armor thing with me at the weekend. I was like, That was one time I used it for the 5-minute window. But I think it's good. It is challenging. It does give you challenges, especially if you've got a job a bit like ours, or if you're trying to organize something that you'd usually use those websites for. Definitely. But I do think it's not really that difficult. I'm surprised how quickly that time has gone where I haven't been using Twitter and Reddit and Instagram. I don't think I use that much though. Like I usually spend on my screen time, I'm usually between 1 and 2 hours on social media each day, so I don't think that is particularly high. I mean, obviously it's a lot of time that I want back, but I mean, yeah, social media is a lot of interaction tools, isn't it? So
yeah, I think it's changed a lot since we've been doing a lot more like on the channel and stuff.
But
we've just been busier.
Didn't
have time to look at it. So obviously the last couple of years when we're just, you know, in your homes, you just end up looking at your phone more.
It keeps you in bed as well, like in the morning.
Yeah, it does. It does, exactly. I found a couple of times that I've gone just to do the next thing I was planning on doing sooner than that. That's something I definitely notice where I'm just like, well, I'm not going to fucking scroll through Twitter. So what was the next thing I needed to do? You know, like that. I think that's a good thing.
I think naturally put blockades in the way of like effort. And I think social media is that easy access. Like, I want to feel like dopamine right now, so I'll open this. I'll wait a minute before I get up. I'll just look through this first because that makes me feel good. And then I'll get up. And then half an hour later, you're like, oh, I feel like shit. I should really get up now. And then you start your day like that. That's been a big positive for me. It's just like, my God, though, I've got like 11 years of instinct, like thumb muscle memory.
Exactly. You're having to break behaviors is why it's important, because you don't naturally break behaviors until you try to, because they're your behavior, right? Like, and so it's interesting to have that break because your brain starts to like learn those habits, doesn't it? Like if you keep, as in, and that's how your brain starts to function. So like, you know, as in there are these like rapid peaks and troughs of attention, essentially, right? Or like rapid peaks and troughs of like micro pleasure from scrolling or whatever, versus a more sort of stable, like, you know, say you're doing something that takes a bit of time that gives you satisfaction, that's a longer release, and it creates, I think, just a probably a more sort of even mind, even, you know, like, I don't know,
it's, you'd hope so.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I don't know, I feel better for it.
I was the first you mentioned last week about Reddit being inactive. People have actually been posting a lot more. Obviously, you haven't been using it.
Good time for it.
But yeah, like people actually have been using it more, which is really appreciated. So thanks for getting involved in that aspect, especially with like Schlogs coming out and you know, the Dead Nuts stuff recently. So yeah, thanks for getting involved.
And the Dead Nuts, if you don't know what that is a band that we have formed back in 2018, I guess, technically.
I guess so, yeah. One of the Jingle Jams, right?
Well, the Jingle Jam charity streams of the year. We do a music stream, and we decided, let's make it a funny band. And then we decided to make that a thing 1 year and try and make an album in that form. That kind of went well. And then we did a Yogg-Con gig where we kind of put all that together. And that went very well. And we're like, let's just capitalize on this and do a tour because that would be fun. And then COVID happened and it got delayed twice. And it's still happening. It's happening this March. So if you are interested in getting it, a ticket for it, it's in Bristol, Birmingham, Manchester, and London. Tickets are still available. Just search for DEDNUTZ. That's how you spell Dead Nuts tour. And then the relevant place. And I assume Google will do the rest to get you to the right place. But yeah,
if people want a taste of what that's like, we've been doing some streams on our Twitch channel as well, so you can check rehearsing. Some of the thoughts out as well of us rehearsing. So
well, we're actually fillers because Dead Nuts are a very professional rock band, and we're just the studio musicians using their instruments right now to warm those instruments up.
Got to keep them in service.
Got to keep them in service. So it should be fun. I've had fun doing the practices, actually. And we're not as rusty as we thought we were.
A bit more fluid now, which is good. Getting there. And we've got, like, what, 21 tracks?
21 playing, tracks. Which
is, feels like quite a lot. It sounds like a lot, although some of them are short. Some of them are really long.
Some could be endless.
Some are endless. Yeah, some just can keep going. But
it's going to be part good few nights. Performing music as a band that isn't necessarily musicians. Part stand-up improv comedy. That's how I see it.
Sure, yeah. It's just a chance to see us fuck about with instruments, which is always fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, although I think on Wikipedia, is it Wikipedia that says we're a band?
Remember when we did that theatre thing, the Wine or Cheese Live?
Oh my God, yeah.
And everyone was just like, that wasn't very good.
Yeah, I think it was very rushed though, wasn't it? It was like very much just like we didn't have long to plan it. And it's something I wouldn't watch back.
They want to, myself? You can't. I can't.
Just I don't want to.
It's. I haven't found it anywhere. But like,
it's on our channel.
It's on our channel.
On our channel.
Yeah.
Fucking hell! I haven't watched it in years.
But it's quite funny. It's like obviously, like if you don't expect have any expectations, it's funny because it's dumb and kind of shit.
Stupid.
Wearing dumb costumes. I'm wearing like these weird Shakespearean pants and pantaloons or whatever they are.
The light guys and had no idea. Like on the day, we would like. It could go anywhere, and maybe we want some green lights for this bit, but just like, just play with it, honestly. So it was like an improv theatre piece where Smith's the narrator, and I was guided through an adventure, and Ross was like all the things that I'll come up against, basically.
Yeah.
And the audience get to decide which way to go, which is our wine or cheese thing. Is like, which way do you start?
Very
shoehorned
idea.
For the audience there, it was quite entertaining, but like, as a filmed experience, probably not.
Did anyone else do a show?
No. I mean, and they basically marketed it around that. That's where it came from. They're like, we need something to sell tickets to. But like, I'm just watching some clips of it. The bit at the end where like everyone's in like black costumes and they've got these like rubber animal hats on, and it's swaying and getting all weird.
It's a shroom nightmare. That's what it is. It's horrible in some instances. But weird, funny little thing we did once. That was in 2017. I don't even know what year that was.
You 2016.
2016. Okay, there you go. So
Mr. Sam was one of the freaky animals as well.
He was.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
And Harry, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Harry.
Barry boy. Yeah.
Old video. That was good luck with that.
Yeah. Classic.
Anyway, going back, you know, I was off social media. I don't know if you talked about that. But
you did mention that, yeah.
The first few days, I think Smith had the same thing. You just go through your phone looking for other apps that could pique your interest. And I came across a really old app I have, which was my diary one, which I started when I first got an iPhone. And app has stayed online somehow this whole time. And I looked
at it. Did you fill it out?
I filled it out for like up until I did the Keith Chegwin work experience. Yeah. So it was like second Quite year of that. Uni, I guess.
It's when I first got an iPhone. 2010.
I was still in my old home, like on a summer holiday break, and I started like, oh, I woke up today feeling great, and I've got this cool new iPhone. Like, you can download apps on it, and like, I wonder how many apps I'm going to get. And like, oh, I've obviously noticed that these are quite expensive. Like, how many am I going to buy? And it was, you could see the downfall of like, I'm on Twitter every day. And this was like 2010.
The beginning.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Nice you've got that perspective, though. I do like that, like, you're able to look back and see a completely different perspective of how you saw something. That's
Although,
really valuable.
You say that, I have photos which are from my first iPhone, which was, I believe, iPhone 4, still on my phone now. As in, like, I've just not gone through them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some I've deleted, just clearing space, but like, that's probably in essence a form of diarrhea, right? So there are some elements
definitely.
There, but I've not really deleted any of that stuff. So I do have a nondescript diary there, like my dogs and stuff. But did you write much? How long were you writing for?
Long time. I was pissed off at the family and the dogs, looking after the dogs all the time. Like, God, they keep shitting in the house. trying to motivate myself to finish. The video we did, we were working on a documentary at the time.
Was it the hag syndrome, or was this, because this is the second year,
it's
right?
It's the Facebook one, which I don't know if I want to name.
Oh, yeah. The Facebook one with Ashman.
I was working on the VFX of that, like going through the monitor and stuff. And I was like, oh, I achieved that for the first time, but it's really hard working out a new piece of software, which I don't really understand.
That was actually a fun project. I mean, it was dumb.
I'm surprised
we had the motivation to do it, because we couldn't get the we had to get the gear in summer, right? Because everyone else was using it.
We were doing it all remotely as well, the edit stuff. You were doing sound effects at the time, turns out.
Yeah.
And I was doing the VFX for it. So that was interesting. And then I went on the work experience, and then it just like fell apart because I was doing like 14-hour shifts. And I was like,
didn't you break down on the way to driving there one day or something like that? Yeah.
With an actor in the car. Yeah. So
by breakdown, you mean the car broke down, not just an emotional breakdown. Your car just stopped.
I had a shitty old red Polo, which was my granddad's, because my other car broke as well. And I used that, and I was the runner, so I had to get the actors from the train or the hotel some days. And I was picking up like the main cast on some days.
Imagine being picked up at a piece of shit like that. You'd be like, well, this isn't a high budget production.
They were in this film, so they should have expected that kind of. So Susanna Fielding, who was in Doctor Who, was one of the ones I picked up early in the morning, heading into a really busy roundabout in London. And my car just cuts out, and I just start drifting into the roundabout. I'm just trying to like steer the car around the roundabout, trying to restart it. It has an old manual clutch choke. So I had to thing in and out.
Definitely like, trying to flood the engine.
It was like stalling on the roundabout, and I managed to get it going again and play it off. Very cool. It's like, sorry about that. That was, we've got a really shitty old car, and she was just laughing about it. So that's probably a good start to a work day.
I have a similar story.
Yeah.
But involving, not cast, but like cameramen.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But driving through Central, and so at the time my car was a bit fucked as well, like not similar to yours, but like basically it wouldn't hold the revs because of like a sensor, so I had to like just gently push the accelerator slightly so it wouldn't die in traffic if I had to stop, which was the worst.
It wasn't idling.
No, it wasn't idling properly. There was something. There was a lambda sensor or something that was fucked. And I had to drive through central London, which was horrible at the time because it was, what year was it? I was... So when I did the work experience for the royal family, royal wedding, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was driving a couple of camera dudes who were just like cramped in the back of my, it was a 318, a BMW 318. And the back, it's only a two door. So the back, there's not much space. And they had all these camera gears in the front. And these guys were pretty big as well. And they'd just come back from Iraq, I think, because they all had like these big burly beards. And they said that's the best way to kind of... Yeah, I don't know, be, you know, subtle in a country like that. So they were like, we don't normally look like this. They kept telling me. I was like, okay, sure. But in the middle of like London, I'm just like constantly losing revs. I'm like, it's just part of the car. It's just, you know, I could figure it out. If I rev hard enough, you know, it'll be fine. fuck me. I was like panicking constantly because I'd never driven through central London before.
God.
I think this was second year. This was probably similar time when you were doing your Kilkeith. Because I think it was, in fact, same summer.
Yeah, we all had to do work experience at the same time, so, yeah.
Did you get paid for yours?
No. I had milk.
They chucked me 40
me.
Quid.
40 quid?
Yeah.
But I found long? Out
the... Oh, it was 2 weeks.
40 quid for 2 weeks' work?
Yeah.
You may as well have torn it up in front of your faces.
I know, I was just like, oh.
Like, that is
how
a
did
joke.
They justify the 40 quid?
I don't know, because they paid other people who were also in our course, like, 100 and something. I was like, why did you not?
Even then.
And I think they were annoyed because I was asking for fuel money because they asked me, I was ferrying around their cameramen. And I was like, well, I just need a bit of fuel money just to cover the costs.
Yeah.
And so they just didn't pay me as much as everyone else. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. I technically did more. I was going around, like taking them around to central London to get these camera shots and stuff. And but it was a fun experience. Apart from that last bit. Because I confronted the guy about it. He was just like, sorry, that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't need to pay you anything. I was like, I guess not. I mean, I signed up for it, but that's work experience for you. You never know.
Slaves.
That's, but, I mean, it was a fun experience. It was fun.
Is backed on work experience university students.
Yeah.
The whole working thing runs on us making teas and picking up crew and doing all the manual labor that the people that have risen above that and now shouts at those people. They work for them.
There's zero power in the situation. If you go, well, you've lost me, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Okay, we'll replace you in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
but that's just the brutality of the industry. There's, you know, it's the same in many industries where it's just like, if you're literally, you don't have any say, basically. Uh-huh. So, very disheartening, but oh well.
Just had a quick Google of Susanna Fielding and
nice, okay.
You've heard her in Forza Horizon 2, 3, 4, and 5 as the DJ voice of the in-game radio. So there you go.
But we don't have that on. What's
and you've
her
seen
name?
Her in that Alan Partridge show where they do a one show.
She is
rip-off.
In that for
She's
12
the
episodes.
Co-presenter. Yeah.
That this time with Alan Partridge,
Yeah.
She's also on Black Mirror as Carol.
She was in Kill Keith.
What's her name?
Susanna Fielding.
Ah, thank you.
She's also in The Cockfields, which is a lesser known sitcom. A bit like The Royal Family. Wouldn't recommend it, to be honest.
It's a bit miserable.
No, had I not had incredible skill to steer my car out of this extremely dangerous situation, she would not have made any of that stuff.
Wow. she's doing well now, eh?
Yeah, I recognize her. Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff.
But you got to start somewhere. Kill Keith.
Kill Keith.
Good beginning. It's where you could have been, Trot. You could have been sat next to Alan Partridge.
I could have been there, but instead...
I mean, in that Alan Partridge thing, I mean, I know Alan Partridge's stuff is very successful, but, like, yeah, she's definitely in that, like, British TV groove of, like, you know, like you say, like, the Royal Family used to be and stuff like that, the sort of, like, shot on digital and it looks shit and we don't care kind of groove.
Well, I mean, like you said, she was in a Black Mirror, but of course, again, there's a lot of famous British actors and stuff in those as well. So.
And sometimes they can look terrible too. Like, I really find the Black Mirror is a real roll of the dice as to like the style.
My favorite one is the one they filmed in Iceland. That was so good.
What's the plot?
It's at the beginning. They hit a cyclist.
Right.
They kill a cyclist after like a night out.
Yeah.
And then they cover up the murder, and then the woman becomes really successful.
Oh, yeah.
He comes back feeling guilty, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's really well shot. Like, yeah, amazing drone shots. Like, there's a lot of Black Mirror, which is
Iceland as well.
Yeah.
But
looks incredible.
Well, we're at the halfway point of Hat Chat, so we'll now take a brief ad break. Obviously, patrons and other people will not get one. So, see you in a second.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
That's right, wow. We're back. Welcome. That was almost perfectly on 24 minutes, but it wasn't quite. So there you go.
I know. Yeah,
welcome back. How about I give some hypotheticals in the form of would you rathers at you?
Sure. Yeah.
Smith, yes.
Throw us a would you rather.
So okay, they're good, would you rathers.
I'm wondering what he's going to get. Well, from you, have you got a list of stuff curated
from
somewhere? I've
got the patron-chosen ones. Thank you, Patreon.
Okay,
what have our fine patrons chosen? Is, would you rather lose the ability to lie or believe everything you're told?
lose the ability to lie, definitely.
Yeah, it's quite easy.
I think so.
Do you need to lie that hard in order to believe everything you're told? That's terrifying. That's quite an easy one. Ross, unless you have a counter.
I was going to say, it brings into that whole discussion. I don't know if we had it on a Hat Chat or probably a Twitch stream at some point about the Ricky Gervais film. Was it
where the invention of lying? Yeah.
And how some stuff just doesn't need to be said, but then some people argue that they're telling the truth just by being blunt and honest, and you know, not having any emotions about it. But yeah, I would definitely rather not believe everything. So yeah, that's there also my decision.
Aliens are real, Ross.
What?
The government.
No, wait, where are they? Are we aliens? We're aliens.
All right, this one then. You ready? Would you rather lose all of your money you've earned this year or lose all the memories you've gained this year?
Memories I've gained.
This year, well, we've only earned 2 months worth of money, and we've only earned 2 months worth of memories. I mean, you'd have to say money, because wiping your memory just feels
dangerous.
Like such a counterintuitive thing.
Part of me feels like I've already forgotten, though, so maybe I should have the money.
That's true. I can easily wipe my own memory.
Do you know what? We're in an advantageous position where we've actually filmed a lot of the things that are probably quite memorable, so I'm going to take the money.
He's taking the money.
And go back and watch the videos. I thought, oh, look, there's actually a lot of, especially with the schlogs recently, we actually kind of...
Wipe my brain.
A visual diary. Take it away, and then...
I don't need to know the details.
Crucial stuff gone, but it's been it's January, February, you know.
They are shit months, normally. This month has been... Well, these few months have been pretty good, but, like, normally of the year, it's like, fucking January. Like,
I feel like we could pick up where we left off if we lost our memories. Like, we got enough people around us to be like, do you remember that you got that appointment coming up? And
it's,
also,
it's just
you're on antibiotics
right
now. You should really keep taking those tablets.
Just this year, yeah.
Right, okay.
Just this year. So we kind of tricked it a little bit. If I'd done that in December last year, would that be a different story?
I think so.
The whole year?
The whole year. At the moment as well, it's more tempting because, like, nah, I think things just still happen to you. I don't want to lose my memories. No, take the money. Fuck it. I mean, obviously, it might put me in some pretty difficult positions, but not as difficult as new not romantic. Well, shows. Yeah, I mean, I know there are these supposed upsides to it, but think about all the other non-entertainment-based downsides of losing your fucking memory for 2 months.
Probably a few things we're literally forgetting that would be quite important.
Of course.
Yeah.
Probably. But that, if anything, that backs up the fact that you should just go for it. You've already forgotten.
Let's find out. Let's find out what I've forgotten by wiping it all. Yeah, okay, so there's that one. All right, if you don't like those two, this one will be really thought-provoking. You ready?
All right, mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh, I'm ready.
Would you rather eat a stranger's toenail clippings once a week or have everything smell like rotten eggs?
It's the toe clippings.
It's the toenail clippings. The smell, like...
You'd have to get into some a smells routine that just... of, like, fucking hell, it's Monday... But then,
if everything smells of rotten eggs,
I'd choose that in a blink, in a heartbeat. I'd eat the toenails. I mean, if you just want me to say, I'd eat toenails once a week.
Can I blend them up and put them in a shake or something? Like it'll become like a medicine, because it's the medicine for the rotten egg smell.
Yeah,
and so I'm kind of thinking, well, yeah, it's a small price to pay.
Back. If you miss
a
week.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, yeah. It's, you have to eat the toenails.
This is the form. Do you get sent like a picture of the stranger? Like, is it going to be like a really off-putting? Like,
there'll be a little picture, you know, like on cigarettes where they show you like the consequences of your actions. The same thing, but like the worst image of that person possible. Their toenails.
This would be an excellent curse for like a role-playing game where you're like, everything smells like rotten eggs unless you find somebody to give you their toenails each week. And so like each week
you have
just
to clip them off too.
Like you go to the inn to find somebody who's
got extra give you long nails that need clip. Yeah. You could just do the pedicure business. That'd be an easy way to do it.
You could, maybe that's what
I'd hate
doing.
To do that. I hate feet.
Keeps
so
you
much.
Young. You hate feet.
Like toenails and ugh. It's all just gross, and I'd have to be like,
I'd give you the extra stinky ones as well, Trot. I'd give you the ones that like really have a hum to them because they're like degrading.
It's
you know,
fungus.
Yeah, delicious. Trot, only
there'll
the most
be
delicious.
A week or two where I'm just like, I can't do it this week. Just give me the rotten egg smell.
Well,
for
exactly,
a week.
And you'd endure it for a while until you're like, right, grind
I'll
up
eat
some.
The toenail.
Yeah, just damn grind it. Them down and put them in a glass of water. That's a good suggestion.
No, like they have to be eaten whole. They have to be swallowed whole like a tablet.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to have a miserable day once a week. That's for bloody sure. I'm going to have a miserable time.
It's stuck in my throat
time.
Like a fishbone.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. Oh, here comes the big toenail. This is my least favorite of the bunch. It's stuck right in my throat. I can feel it. I'm just trying to clear it.
When did they last clip their toenails? It's been years.
But I do hate the smell of rotten eggs. Like as a kid, I never used to like eggs, and apparently my mum used to get rashes every time she ate them. So there's a good chance I'm probably a little bit allergic to them. But I like them now. I used to really hate the smell of eggs. I still do hate the smell of like a hard boiled egg, like that stinky egg smell.
Not nice.
I don't remember the last time I smelled rotten eggs though. Other than the actual synthetic rotten egg smell, like from I don't know
those
joke
jelly
shop
beans?
Style,
those
or
jelly
like those,
beans.
Yeah, maybe
we've eaten it, haven't we?
Yeah,
it's sulfurous. Like, sulfurous smell is the smell, isn't it? Really,
but it does. It'd be horrible. It'd be a horrible experience.
But you're going to be doing it. Yeah, you're going to be.
It's going to happen. That's next week's challenge. We're all eating strangers.
Birthday
challenge. Where we source them is entirely up to us. Yeah. Toenail munches.
Look forward to your birthday video coming up. You're going to get cursed.
I don't want to eat toenails.
Would you like animal hoofs, perchance? I've got a few of them. They smell horrible. Those are so... Like, Murphy will just chomp into those bad boys. And when he gets more wet and, like, soggy, the smell
Do you imagine
is
what
so
what
disgusting.
Demon gooch smells like? Is it quite a musky smell?
Well, no, it's like it's, when you drive past like a farm.
Yeah, that
and there's
stanky
like strong
smell.
Chicken farm
like
well.
Kind of farmyard smell. That's exactly. What comes out of the hoofs that's in there.
Right.
And he loves it, of
Why
course.
Why is it so tangy? Oh,
it's
God,
really,
chicken
it's horrible.
Yeah. Farms.
The
smell
chicken
thing
farms
is really
are the worst smelling. I think it goes chicken farm, pig farm, cow farm in terms of smell, worst to best. Like, but even on a cow, like a dairy farm, like my friend used to have one, still does, and it is a pervasive smell. That like that you say that smell that comes out of the whether it comes out of the hooves or whatever. But yeah, Ridge just does get in everything as well. Like, yeah. But the chicken farms are the worst. When you drive past a chicken farm,
you don't even need to drive past it. Oh, it can be in like a mile radius. Yeah. And you'll smell it. It's disgusting. It's so gross.
It is
anyway,
such a grim
smell.
Smell
the country.
I see. I don't think it is. I think that's. It's mainly the battery farms that smell that bad. Like I'd say that's not because cow pants and cow shit. Yeah, it's not just, nice, but it's tolerable.
It's out. It's open in the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chicken shit is. Oh, something about it in high concentrations really makes me sad inside.
And they're all just walking in it and stuff in their little cages.
Yeah.
Poor bastards.
There was a story in America that came out last week about them feeding plastic bits of plastic to pigs. They just mix it in with their food. And so they've just been terrible, consuming plastic. And then, again, obviously, when they get slaughtered, they're then feeding that back to people.
Yeah.
And like, so
we're concentrating
I don't know if
waste.
That's our food or whether it's just an American thing. But, I mean, you know, who knows?
Oh, my God.
That's shocking, isn't it?
I thought I told you guys about this.
Chomping
the
down
the warehouse. Plastic.
You might have done. Oh, yeah.
I saw a video of it
the other day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where this guy's like inside a waste processing plant and they're like, see all this shit. This gets turned into hog feed. And like, look what's going into the hog feed. And it's all like plastic bags and stuff.
Yeah. It's rough.
God damn.
Because you can feed that to pigs. I hope that isn't the case in the UK, but you've got to at least expect it to be happening somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't eat pigs, guys. Cut them out. Cut red meat out of your diet for only like once a week.
Well, yeah, cut it down. It's just
a great thing to do for you and for the animals and for the environment.
Do it for the pigs.
Do it for the piggies. Just have one. Go to a petting
my
farm.
My bacon's ready, so I've
just got to... Yeah. Also, bacon and any kind of processed pork or red meat is like classed as like a class one carcinogen up there with like asbestos and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really not great.
Nitrogen or something,
Yeah, nitrates is one
nitrates.
Of them. Yeah, but it's preservatives, but not just that.
What
like
kind of meat?
Pretty much anything that's pork or beef or like specifically like charcuterie, like preserved sausages and things like that are terrible for you. Like, there's a lot of reasons not to.
Why do they taste so good though?
Just because it is nice,
plastic.
I suppose.
It's good plastic.
Asbestos
good
doesn't
plastic.
Taste nice.
But yeah, what we'll do, we'll go to, in the spring, or whenever the new piggies are getting born, we'll go up to that petting zoo that I went up to. That made me decide to... You can just go in the pen with all the little piglets, and they'll like come over to you, and if you start rubbing their belly, they'll just roll over
flip
and let you do
side.
It. And it's just, you know, it's just like, man, I should stop eating you guys. Why? Is it worth it?
What if I took one home and then slaughtered it later? Would you be happy with that?
I'd be more happy if you'd shot a wild boar, of which there are thousands.
No. I'll take one of the fresh piglets.
He prefers the piggy meat.
He wants a little...
But I'll live with it first. Let Murph introduce himself. They can hang out for a few years. And
like
then,
babe.
When he's big. And it's like, wow, this is actually uncontrollably big.
Yeah.
Ross, he keeps salivating around the pig. Why is...
He's big now. He's actually just too big for the house. I really shouldn't have brought him in the first place. No, I wouldn't like the idea of slaughtering an animal at all.
That you've grown with, like you've raised them in your home.
Yeah, and then he's
as
like
a pet.
The fact
and they
even have the
like,
hoofs
well,
is disgusting enough. It literally, it's like an abattoir where he just munches on. But he loved them so much and it keeps him occupied that it's kind of worth it. But I'm just glad that there's, you know, it's not gone to complete waste, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a diverse diet. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat meat. What I'm saying is there are specific meat choices that are far better for you than other meat choices. And it doesn't
take... Well, they've
always
said red meat can be, like you shouldn't have too much anyway because, you know, can fuck your arteries up.
There's also, there's many reasons. Like, that's the thing. Yeah, personal health is one. Another reason is obviously the environmental impact. Like, there's lots of reasons. Like, I don't know. I think that... switching to less meat is a great idea for you and for everybody else if you can do it. Anyway, I don't know why I got into that. I don't feel particularly strongly about that, but it is, you know, it's not a particularly complicated thing to grasp.
Are there any more would you rathers there or
no?
How many did you have there? That was it. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's fine. There's billions out there, but I feel like that's enough. You know, I feel like we got space for some fun news.
Yeah, definitely. There is. There are some funny news stories. One which was sent to us in several forms. One being on Reddit, and I think we were emailed as well, was about a teacher who laced school children's cupcakes with her husband's sperm, which is horrible. It's not a funny one. Oh, God.
Wait, hold on. Whoa, look at that freeze. That was such a good one.
Poggers. It's disgusting. Everyone's like, oh, Rebecca's all grown up. Remember Rebecca from the first Hat Chat podcast?
Yep.
It's horrible when it's real, isn't it?
Yeah, because obviously that was just a joke. That was a big joke. But this is real. I think she was charged. Let's see what it says. It says a school teacher in the US has admitted. Worse. Oh, does it really? She's admitted to lacing the cupcakes with her husband's sperm before feeding them to her pupils. I feel like we've heard this story before as well, though. Mm-hmm. At least another feeding of laced products was. Have we heard this before? I don't know. I know I shouldn't be in charge of this segment. I apologize. This was sent to us by our fans, though. So,
in charge of anything, the people that sent it in.
That's it, exactly.
That's on you.
Let me skim over this for the worst bits. So, she now faces more than four decades behind bars for a range of horrific crimes.
Jesus. For a range of crimes. She's just a straight-up psychopath.
Yeah, so she's done horrible stuff. Psycho. She's done really horrible stuff.
I don't need to go into the nitty-gritty, but that was raised to us. If you really wanted to read up on it, feel free. It just gets really perverse.
Well, I think I saw the article before, and I saw that one kid had died because they had a nut allergy.
Fuck's sake.
Christ. Yeah. I mean, there are other stories. let's see. Fucking hell. Not allergic. What's this one? This one's fairly lightweight in comparison. London posties stagger around after accidentally eating a load of hash brownies. Royal Mail have launched an investigation into a video that showed postmen staggering in the street after accidentally, it's obviously in quotes there, eating brownies laced with cannabis. The workers said to have mistaken the edibles in a Pablo Chocobar box for innocent treats were filmed walking unsteadily and needing help on their rounds in Clapham, South London. How is that happening? So they're just wandering around. Someone's just following them with a camera.
Look at the image of this guy.
What have you had, mate? What have you had?
Where the hell are they getting Pablo Choco bars from? What? I'm just fucking baked.
Just say a load of hash brown. What of it?
I thought it was just chocolate.
I mean, that is dangerous. If if a brownie's laying out, you just don't eat it. All right? I know that's tempting. Yeah, look, there's a brownie. But really these, the brownie.
I've just Googled Pablo Choco bars, and I mean, that's a high quality edible. Like, where the fuck did they get that from? He ate four.
Four? Oh, did he eat four of them?
Jesus, oh my God. That's not a nice time. That's full panic attack territory. Four edibles. Because, like, one edible is
you wouldn't even be thinking about your job at that time. You would be just longing out somewhere.
You'd be desperately trying to hold on to reality. How can you stay like hold on to the floor when you've had four?
You're still trying to post stuff.
So they're a complete newbie to weed, and they've had four Pablo Choco. I mean, also, have they broken into somebody's like delivery and eaten
shit? Maybe. Which is, if anything, a higher crime. That's a bigger crime.
Well, it certainly was. High crimes indeed, Ross.
Certainly was.
But yeah, Dank Bakery UK. I mean, it does.
Is this a legal product, so you can actually buy this in the UK? I didn't think you could buy. Edibles.
It surprises me every day what you can get in the UK weed market, Ross. Well, not every day.
I mean, I've seen CBD adverts now.
Yeah. No, I mean like illegally, but like the stuff that makes it to our shores is surprising.
Oh, what's
like,
this
in
washed
its,
up here?
Diversity. Like, I mean, especially. Shipment. When you see, like, when the Silk Road and stuff was in full operation, and I'm sure there's versions of the Silk Road still out there, like, stuff people were getting was blowing my mind. Like, it was probably just after... Probably we were too busy starting up YouTube shit to pay attention to it, but I think if we were at uni for a couple more years, that was when people in their 20s started buying good drugs off of the internet, you know, using the Silk Road. Like, it's like, shit was just getting posted to people. Like, there's a couple of really good documentaries
about
it.
Birthday cards.
Yeah,
they're less likely to be opened.
Yeah, and Shiny Flakes exactly is a really good example, and there's a really good documentary about Shiny Flakes, which was this guy. Was he? I can't remember quite where he was from. Is he German? But it was like a 16-year-old kid.
Netflix spam.
Yeah. That was operating he was German. 16-year-old kid that was operating this like multi-million pound drug business from the bedroom that he shared with his, like in an apartment with his mum. His mum never knew what was going on. He never withdrew any of the money. He just used it as in crypto to buy and sell the drugs. So he was just like kind of building this drug empire but without cashing any of it out. So it was very hard to work out how he was doing it, but how he was doing it is he was literally just using Amazon drop boxes. So he would use a fake account or whatever, buy like some postage. You just take it to a drop box, put it in there anonymously, then it just gets routed to another drop box where the end user picks it up. and he would post like, you know, huge rocks of drugs, you know, like massive amounts of, not massive amounts, but like enough to put you in prison in the UK for 15 years. But like, yeah, it's surprising, but it's interesting to hear this post. He's done that. And I kind of feel for them a bit. I kind of don't. You shouldn't. I don't know how they acquired it. I mean, they clearly acquired it nefariously if they didn't know not to eat four whole edibles at once. You know, that's somebody who likes chocolate, not somebody who's looking to get blazed, you know?
I'm hungry.
But there was a story.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Recently, about a guy who was bringing in like shit tons of heroin, and he did it through by putting it into his fuel tank or reservoir or something, like his back seat. And the only reason they investigated him because they could smell fuel because he didn't seal it properly. And so they pull out this fucking chain of like these blocks in this like ramp. And yeah, that was his. He got fucked for that. A lot of shit.
I actually watched a really interesting like interview with a guy called it was called How Cocaine Trafficking Actually Works, and it was an interview with a guy called Peter Tritton, or nice. Posh Pete as he was known. Nice. And it's on the channel Insider on YouTube, and it's really interesting. It's like a 15-minute thing about, he's talking about the stages of like cocaine production, how cocaine gets to you. But this guy spent like 12 years in an Ecuadorian prison, and he literally has the same mannerisms and personality as Sam, you know, like Dead Nut Sam. He's really chill, really like,
you never expect him
exactly very difficult to read, and that's kind of what made him successful, I think, is he was very like reserved and stuff. But he said the best way they ever worked out of transporting cocaine was they were dissolving the cocaine into latex, then lining the bottom of tents with said latex, and then they would give the tent to a person they'd paid, like a tourist who was over in the south, saying, hey, can you take this tent back for us? We'll give you 10 grand. It got back to the UK where they unload the tent, and then they post the tent off to somebody, and then they use a chemical process to extract the latex from the rubber base of these tents, and that would leave them with about 5 kilograms of cocaine, which Christ. Is worth like tens of thousands.
In a tent.
And that he said that nuts. They could counter every single test or detection system that they had. So it wouldn't pick up on visual scans because it looks like it's a tent. The latex would put
wouldn't
the dogs
smell
off.
Like it, surely.
Latex would put the dogs off. And then they used one final chemical they added to the mix that would stop this blotter test that they would use on surfaces to see if it was cocaine. Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, we just did that.
That was amazing. That's incredible, the lengths to go through. I know they'll see they store it inside like things as well. Like inside tennis balls where you know wouldn't expect anything to be in them and stuff. And like just a big box of them, and it's just like, well, shit, like, yeah,
loads of tennis balls.
The
lengths people go to for money and drugs.
But the thing is, right, the most important bit on both ends is the lab, is the chemist, you know, like this is it. So, you know, like he said, because that's what the cartels control. They control the labs. And then there's farmers that do all the actual farming of the coca that's required, the leaves that's required to make the cocaine. It's farmers, and they get paid like 1% of the final value of the product, the people that actually grow it.
Yeah. Didn't Gordon Ramsay do a documentary where he was like watching them make it? I think it was Gordon Ramsay.
There's definitely some. I mean, it could have been Ross Kemp.
It might have been Ross Kemp, actually. I don't know why I'm conflating the two.
Jason Fox as one of them went over one, there. Who's one of the guys from the SAS Who Dares Wins. He did like with the drug lords some shit.
It was just like a really like weird process of like pouring certain fuels and then mixing it in a big barrel, and it's all looks very like dirty and this horrible farm and
it's pretty gross.
A very weird process involved. Yeah, but yeah.
And this same video goes on, he's saying, like, the things that are really valuable in places like Peru and Colombia are the reagents for washing the coca leaves to extract it, which is what you're talking about there. So they used to use something called ether, which was back when coke got huge in the 80s and 90s. Ether was like the way that they washed the cocaine out of the leaf, essentially. It's like a, what do you want to call it? There's like a fixing solution. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a certain name for it to take things out of. I don't know whether it breaks down the cellulose, a solvent. Yeah. It breaks down the cellulite of the plant or some shit. I don't know. But he said that they made that really difficult to get in South America. Like, it's super controlled. He said they had to use worse chemicals now in the 2000s onwards, because the ones that made the really good cocaine have been outlawed. So he's saying they're actually worse coke is being made now because of the chemicals they're having to use, the solvents they're having to use. I don't know, very interesting. That was a fun video. Yeah.
Of course, we have to stipulate this with we do not endorse illegal drug use.
Or smuggling. You will get fucked if you get caught smuggling drugs.
Oh, my God.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. This guy is like, he's saying like, yeah, you'll end up in prison or you'll end up dead for smuggling cocaine. He's like, that's just the way it'll eventually end. But anyway, yeah. No, of course, like those things.
Crazy. Well then, to end quite the You can't have dinner with this hatchet, I don't think. I don't think so. No, there's some gross moments. The Rebecca thing and the toenail thing. And the
rotten eggs situation.
So now... Rough.
But then you're saying that at the end, so it's too late. If you've already had your dinner... Sorry?
Well, if you've been putting it off, now you can get tucked in as we come to a close. Yeah. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you again to our Patreons for supporting us every week. And hopefully the votes are worthwhile to you. I don't know. And the ad-free versions that Ross posts up there, that's always good.
Yeah.
And if you have a cool fingle, like Zag, hatchat@hat-films.com, please send them in. Much appreciated. Indeed. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Could do with some more. Thank you. All right. And we'll catch you all next week, hopefully back on a Friday again. Regular time. This should be released normal time anyway on Saturday. Yeah. So. All right, then. We'll leave it there. Goodbye, everybody.
Indeed.
Bye, everyone.